Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Inshallah, we continue the second part for our class for tonight. Again, this is the fifth class for the sixth album, and this is the second half of the fifth class, which is page number 491 after Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Kitab al-Qada. This is the book of judgment and settlement of dispute among the people. Hadith 1188 عن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القضاة ثلاث اثنان في النار وواحد في الجنة رجل عرف الحق فقضى به فهو في الجنة ورجل عرف الحق فلم يقض به وجار في الحكم فهو في النار ورجل لم يعرف الحق فقضى للناس على جهل فهو في النار رواه الأربعة. This hadith reported by Buraida, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i al-Kubra and Ibn Majah and Hakim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying what the meaning is, the judges are three types. Two of them will be in hell fire and one of them will go to paradise. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explaining what is the cause of two of them going to hellfire and one go to paradise. This as a result of their settlement or their judgment or how they judge among the people. Number one, a person, the first type of judges, a person who knows the truth and he judge according the truth. Okay? A person who knows the law, who know what's right, what's wrong, what is halal, what is lawful, which one takes what, all the things, and he judge by the truth, and the truth also is what you judging by. Okay, so knowing the law and the judging by the right law, and the only right law to judge among the people is the ruling of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the judge who learn and study and understand the Islam and he judge according this, he will be in Jannah. And another type of judges is the one who knows the truth but he doesn't judge according it due to whatever reason, that maybe understand because a big salary he hired by the government, okay. Or those that understand that he is not supposed to judge by anything except the Quran and Hadith, and that Allah said in Quran that whosoever وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. He knows that those who people do not judge by what Allah revealed, they are kafir, they are sinners, they are wrongdoers, they are transgressor, but he still, for the love of the position, the love of the big salary, having a big limousine, all the stuff, okay, that he judged by people in other means, not by Quran and Sunnah. So this person, he doesn't give judgment according the book of Allah and according the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third type of a judge is the person who doesn't know, and he will judge among the people on ignorance. Okay, so this person also will be in hell fire. Now we can see why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one to Jannah and two to hellfire. We understand that a person is not supposed to judge between people without knowledge. So seeking the knowledge concerning what you're doing is very important, is part of the work itself, that the hadith shows us also the seriousness of a person involved in this kind of jobs, okay, without being equipped for this type of job, and how serious it is, and to judge among the people without knowledge is one of the major sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare hellfire for a person who does this. And also that we know the seriousness of this position and person should avoid it. Hadith number, this hadith 1188 is sahih lighayri. That is mean is not authentic in its own, but as a result of been elevated by other hadith which has the same meaning and make it authentic as result of other narration which is closer or similar. Hadith number 1189 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ولي القضاء فقد ذبح بغير سكين. من ولي القضاء فقد ذبح بغير سكين. The one who has been appointed to be a judge ruling between the people and make settlement between them, indeed he been killed without a knife. Okay, he been slaughtered without a knife. This hadith is reported by Abu Huraira. May Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and An-Nasa'i for Kubra, and Ibn Majah, as well as Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. The hadith is authentic. Again, the hadith shows us the seriousness of being in a position of a qadi. A qadi is the person who judge between the people. And also we understand how serious it is for somebody to be slaughtered but not with a sharp knife. That means he will be suffering, okay? And number one, he's killed. Number two, he's been killed with a knife even, okay? But it shows you that is a terrible form of slaughtering him. This also is a form of showing you how serious it is and the person be careful. The next hadith, which hadith 1190 in page number 492 وعنه, that means the same reporter which Abu Huraira قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم ستحرصون على الإمارة وستكون ندامة يوم القيامة فنعمة المرضعة وبئسة الفاطمة. إنكم ستحرصون على الإمارة وستكون ندامة يوم القيامة فنعمة المرضعة وبئسة الفاطمة. The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. Hadith is authentic. Reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied informing us about what's happening, going to happen later on in the coming days, that you will be eager for the getting the office of imarahship, or to be the mayor, the governor, the head, the khalifa, any high position that you are have control over the people and the position, that some, okay, of you would be so concerned about assuming this position, but in reality the result of it will be a sore in the day of a judgment, okay, will be a cause of regret in the day of a judgment. فنعمة المرضعة, it is a good suckler, evil warner,
winner.
Because when a child sucking from his mother and getting the milk is like entertainment, is something fun. Okay, but this was happening in the beginning, he taking the milk. But when she tried to wean him, because he already got used to this, now she tried to wean her, it's going to be a trouble for him. So don't you understand, look to the beginning of such a thing, how it's fun for you, try to see what's going to happen in the end. Because there are certain things, you may get in a benefit of it, okay? But the ending of it, this is what you should be thinking when you approach something. What's the result of it? You see, it's not that I'm making money, okay, I'm getting position, I'm this and that, everybody. No, you have to know what it is, what's going to happen eventually, okay? So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again is discouraging us to try to assume this kind of leadership positions and being in the charge of people, and how serious it is, and how the things in this dunya can be beneficial, but it can be serious for us in the day of a judgment. Next hadith, number 1191, وعن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه سمع رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا حكم الحاكم فاجتهد ثم أصاب فله أجران وإذا حكم فاجتهد ثم أخطأ فله أجر متفق عليه. Okay. That when the judge surrender his ruling, okay, after he exercise the best of his ability and his mind and his understanding, okay, what is haram, what is halal, he hear from this one and hear from this one, and they try to see where is the problem and who really that the transgressor and who the oppressed and who, you see. So it's matter of being smart, being knowledgeable, being expertise and experience, all the things goes together. So as a matter of ijtihad and they try to see exactly what it is, now when he surrenders this judgment, okay, it can be right. If it happened to be a right, he would get double reward. One reward that due to the fact that he tried, and the second reward because that his trying was right. Okay? Nevertheless, if he exercised the best of his ability, but the ruling was not right, he still get a reward. Okay, so because a person can have the proper knowledge, but somebody can deceive, somebody can lie, somebody get a better lawyer, all these things. Okay, so according Islam, you understand, he said, okay, now you the one who took the money, you need to give him his money back, or this and that. So he knows the Islamic ruling, but things was not clear to him to be able to surrender the proper judgment, okay? Because we are a human being, we judge by what we see, what we hear. We could not see what's in the people's mind and heart. So under no condition the judge, as long as he knows the Islamic ruling and the Islamic law, he still be rewarded by Allah regardless what is the result of his the verdict, what it comes, if it's correct or not correct, okay? Because sometimes the person who's guilty will be innocent, and the innocent will be guilty. But he did his best, and this is all what he can. But we could not say this to anybody, that he didn't go to learn the Islamic law and come to judge between the people, okay? Yeah. حديث 1192 عن ابي بكر. This is different from Abu Bakr now. Okay. وعن ابي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يحكم احد بين اثنين وهو غضبان. Father of Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, hadith is authentic. None of you should judge between two while you are angry. A judge is not supposed to surrender his verdict while he in a state of anger. He's angry before he come or he's during the trial. He may be angry, understand, his wife didn't iron his coat. He have to appear in the court with a wrinkled shirt and okay, so he come into the court angry. Or that what the people said in the case made him angry. So in this case, he shouldn't surrender his judgment, because his emotion will be involved and maybe this will cause him to surrender a wrong or what you call a biased verdict, okay, take somebody's side or something. So that means he should try to be away from anything that affect him mentally, physically, whatever it is. It's not only a matter of being ghadban, angry. If the judge, there is anything disturbing him, like a person when he come to Salah, Rasulullah said don't come to Salah, don't approach Salah while yudafi'u al-akhbathain, or that there is bahadrat at'am, you are not supposed to engage in prayer while food is ready, or that you want to use the bathroom. Because in both cases you'll be going, your mind is not going to be in Salah. Yeah? Your mind going to be in the barbecue chicken. Or your mind will be when the Imam finish. Wow man, he's reading a long surah. I have to use the bathroom. I have to use the bathroom. So leave the Salah. Go use the bathroom. Make it uncome. Okay, you can be comfort. Because now you'll be thinking about the Salah, not about the bathroom. Okay, I'm going to lose my wudu. I'm going to lose my wudu. Same thing if the judge is going, he need to be focusing about this case. Nothing disturb him, not a wither, not hunger, not anger, not anything. So when he think about it, he can give the best. Because being affected by anything like anger, he can mess up the whole case. Okay? And this will give the right, not to the right owner, he will give it to somebody else. And from this hadith also we see how Islam is so concerned about establishing justice among the people, for such reasons that the judge have to be in the right state so he can surrender the proper decision. Hadith 1193 وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تقاضى إليك رجلان فلا تقضي للأول حتى تسمع كلام الآخر فسوف تدري كيف تقضي. قال علي فما زلت قاضيا بعد. The hadith reported by Ali, cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his son-in-law, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Hibban. The hadith is Hassan, is good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him that when you sit to judge between two people, okay, don't surrender your judgment until you hear from both of them. Don't hear from the first one and say, okay, this is it. Okay, I don't need even to hear from the other person, because this is convincing to me. Or this second, I know him. You see, I know he is a troublemaker. You could not do this. You still have to hear from the second person, okay? So he said, فَسَوْفَ تَدْرِي كَيْفَ تَقْضِي. You will know how to judge between them or how to settle your case. Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, thereafter I kept judging in according with that what the Prophet ﷺ had advised me to do, that you listen to the second before, as you listen to the first, listen to the second. Okay, listen to both parties. So justice between the people who come before you is very important, and you have to hear the two sides of the story. Again, Islam is concerned about establishing justice between the people, and he also provides us with means and hints which we can surrender the best judgment between the people. Next hadith in page number 493, hadith 1194. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم تختصمون إلي ولعل بعضكم أن يكون ألحن بحجته من بعض فأقضي له على نحو ما أسمع منه فمن قطعت له من حق أخيه شيئا فإنما أقطع له قطعة من النار. متفق عليه. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying in this hadith, which reported by Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, متفق عليه, the hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying what the meaning is, you bring your dispute to me, and perhaps some of you are more eloquent in their plea than others, so that I give judgment on their behalf according to what I hear from them. Therefore, whatever I rule for anyone which by right belongs to his brother, I am only granting him a portion of hellfire. Okay? So both of you come. I'm a human being. I don't know the unseen. I don't know what happened. But when I surrender my judgment, I surrender according what I heard. But sometimes some of you can be first speaking than the other. He knows how to twist words, how to play with the words, okay? And maybe the other person is not equipped with all this fancy word and ability, or okay? So what I do, I surrender my judgment according what I heard. You see, I could not see what's in your heart. I surrender the judgment according what I heard. So if I give to somebody the right of his brother, but he's not supposed to be his right, indeed this doesn't make it lawful. Okay? Because you know in your heart that this is not yours. But because he was able to talk nice and convince me, so now I said, yes, it's your goat, it's your sheep, it's your car, it's not his. But in your heart know that this is his, is your brother. How you can accept this? This is not my fault as a judge, as a prophet of Allah. I surrender my judgment according what I heard. But you know in your heart is not yours. If you accept it, you accepting a piece of hellfire. And this doesn't turn the haram to halal. It's not because the judge said yes is yours, that means you have the right to take it. So you have to have the fear of Allah. You have to have the fear of Allah, and you have to understand that even if the judge, even the judge is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told you yes, this is yours, in your heart you know better. So you better don't take it. because you be holding like a piece of fire, and you taking the right of your Muslim brother, and this will be so serious for you in the day of judgment. Hadith 1195, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith which reported by Jabir, saying, كيف تقدس أمة لا يؤخذ من شديدهم لضعيفهم. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Ibn Hibban, and the hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ saying what the meaning is, how a nation can be cleaned or can be purified. Purified, yes, okay. Where the right of its weak is not taken from its strong one. Because somebody's weak, he doesn't have a lawyer, okay, he doesn't know how to go about taking care of business, okay, and we know, we know that this person, because he have money, he can hire a lawyer, he can do this and that. So we as Muslims, if we know this, we have to stand beside this weak person, okay? Otherwise, that we be involved in the sin, we be part of the corruption, and no way our nation and our community can be a good community. So when we know that somebody, because his family ranks or because his position in the job or whatever it is, that he oppresses the people and taking their rights, that we have to stand against the weak one and to try to help him. Otherwise, this will spoil our condition, all of us as a Muslim community. This hadith in page number 494, hadith number 1196. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يدعى بالقاضي العادل يوم القيامة فيلقى من شدة الحساب ما يتمنى أنه لم يقضي بين اثنين في عمره. سبحان الله. Hadith which reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith is a collection of Ibn Hibban. The hadith is authentic, inshallah. That Aisha said, in the day of judgment, the just ruler, the just judge, the fair one, will be brought in the day of judgment, and he be facing a lot of hardship to such a degree that he will wish that he never sat down to rule between two people. This is a just ruler. He going to be questioned, okay, and he will go through a serious trial in the day of judgment, and he's a just ruler, okay. Can you imagine about a person who is not a just, what's going to be happening to him? To such a degree that this judge will wish that he never did this in his life, that he never took a case of any two. And this again to show us how serious it is. People have to be careful and not to get into things like this. So because the hard account he will be facing. Next hadith, hadith 1197, وعن أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لن يفلح قوم ولوا امرهم امرأة. رواه البخاري. حديث reported by أبو بكر، may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari رحمة الله عليه. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying what the meaning is: people who point a woman as their ruler or their leader, they will never succeed or they will never progress or prosper. Okay. The hadith, as we see, is coming under judgment. So this hadith is telling you, okay, according Imam Ibn Hajar, he understood the hadith relating to this, that a woman is not supposed to be a judge. In general, the hadith is saying that a woman is not supposed to be in a position of leadership, in charge of the affairs of the Muslims. Okay? To be in the charge of the affair of the Muslims. Okay? لن يفلح قوم. No community will be progress when they put a woman in the charge of their affairs. So a woman is not supposed to be a judge, is not supposed to be a ruler, is not supposed to be the head of the army. Okay, all these serious positions that taken general responsibility of the affairs of the Muslims, the Muslim Ummah, if you do this, you'll be going against the Islamic ruling, and you are not going to be looking for a progress or prosperity. Okay? We understand about the weakness of women and their emotion, and they are not equipped to be in a position of something like this. So when you leave this responsibility in their hands to lead you, now you're calling in destruction for the country.
Their punishment for a woman if she does this
is not it is enough that the people, they are not going to progress. What more than this?
Their punishment, what about hers? Is there a specific punishment for her?
Not anything specifically that I can quote it from Quran or Hadith. Next hadith, hadith 1198, وعن أبي مريم الأزدي رضي الله تعالى عنه، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من ولاه الله شيئا من أمر المسلمين فاحتجب عن حاجتهم وفقيرهم احتجب الله دون حاجته. The hadith is authentic, and the hadith reported by Abu Maryam, the hadith in collection of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us the responsibility of a ruler or a person who is in the charge of the affairs of the Muslims in whatever office or capacity, that the person have to be accessible to them. Not you understand this bodyguard and you could not see him and you could not talk to him and talk to the secretary of the secretary of the secretary. Okay, he having people before you be able even for him to see your letter or even to have appointment with him. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that any person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in a position of authority over the affairs of the Muslims, and he turns away, hide from them, not be accessible to them to take care of their businesses and their needs and their wants, especially the poor and the needy one, Allah will hide from him in the day of judgment. Okay? That mean will be an obstacle between him and Allah, that he could not, same way like he dealt with his community, Allah will deal with him in the day of judgment.
As people assigned to help him, and they report to him, like say for instance, there's too many people in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As an army.
Okay.
The cabinet officers, do they have that permissible?
It's permissible, excuse my foot.
No, it's okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's permissible. As long as the people affairs been taken care of it, you see. But to take the position and not to take care of what is required, no. Okay? So if he could not do it himself, he have to put somebody in charge to take such care of such a thing. But as example, let's say that the person did not have any satisfaction with any of these people, and he insists that I want to see the ruler himself. Now, it is right of the person to be seen and to be listened to. So Islam is concerned about not only giving people offices, but the people have to take care of whatever of offices that they handle their responsibility. And exactly to perform their duties. And the people in the charge of the affairs of the Muslims, they should make things easy on them, not make it difficult for them. And that we have to understand, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that each one of you is governor, and each one of you will be questioned about his government. Hadith number 1199 in page number 495. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراشية والمرتشية في الحكم. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Ibn Hibban and Tirmidhi and Ahmad, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed the one who brides and the one who takes bribes.
Bribes,
okay, to pass judgments, okay, to pass judgments. A person paying money, okay,
kickback, yeah,
okay, to reach a position or to persuade the judge to rule for his favor. The one who's giving this money and the one who receiving this money is cursed by Allah. Okay? So bribes are haram in Islam. It's not supposed to be done in a Muslim community. Unfortunately, in some of so-called Islamic country, that it became so terrible even to get your rights, even to get a visa for Hajj and Umrah, if you did not have something inside the passport, when you give it inside the window, your passport will be sitting there for Allah knows best. How many Hajj after this, okay? And when you come and say, oh sir, are we sorry? We have a limited number for Umrah this year and you was too late. And all what you have to do, you understand, take the passport and you take this dollar and stick it inside and give him the passport. So, okay sir, I understand it's late, but what about you think about it, see if you can help me with it. So, okay, no problem. What about you come after the lunch? We'll be ready. You see? So sometimes if a person have to do something to get his rights, not to take other people's rights, it may be acceptable and the curse will be upon the person who receiving. But you should always try to get your right without getting into this dirty stuff. Because this is bad, and the curse of Allah be upon the person to do this.
Is it permissible to give somebody a gift, the equivalent of say a tip, if somebody does a favor for you in governor or ruler, you know, is it permissible?
After the fact or
after they did it?
But was he expected you to give him a gift?
No.
Did you promise him or anything?
No.
Is this something he understands that you are not obligated, but you want to do it out of your goodness, but this not to be, okay, so next time when you see me, remember, and you let it go, okay?
You're not buying a favor.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tip, okay? It's person do something you good, you can reward him. Yeah. Inshallah. Last hadith in this chapter, and maybe inshallah, last hadith for tonight, due to the fact that I don't know what's happened to have, or two-thirds of our class tonight. Hadith 1200 or 1200 hadith or 1200 page number 495. وعن عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الخصمين يقعدين بين يدي الحاكم. This hadith is authentic due to the other narrations. So it's sahih al-ghayri that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled that the two appointed or two adversaries should sit in front of the judge. Okay? Not one here and one in the other country. Because the expression of the face sometimes, the way how they talk, the way you understand the being in the, it can reveal something to the judge, okay? So it's not because his cousin or his uncle is a mayor, alright? So now he's not supposed to be in the courthouse, no. Both of them, both people have dispute, they have to sit before the judge to hear from both of them and see both of them. Yes.
If a male and a female do their sit close together.
I mean to be sitting in the same room, okay? They're sitting in the same room, but they are not sitting. Yes, okay. Yes, exactly, okay?
Okay.
And this will be the last hadith, inshallah, for our class for tonight. If any time left, we may allow some quick questions. Sister Sauda.
Alright, the first question, I wanted to know if you can have a lawyer or have someone speak on your behalf.
In Islamic government, you don't really have to do this if the people fear Allah. Okay? But there is nothing wrong to have a lawyer, as long as you are not feeding him the wrong information, neither he coming for the purpose to make you the winner regardless. So we play different from the kuffar, okay? Not that I am a criminal and go because I have some money and get a good lawyer, especially if it's a Jew, so and he get you out. This is it. You go again and you bust the other bank, and after this you giving him third of what he got, and because he's a good lawyer, he got $10,000, he get, Allah knows best, he may be even giving $2,000 to the judge, you see, and keep going like this. So, but some people, they get nervous being in the court, they could not speak in front of a judge, they could, okay, so they get somebody to talk in their behalf. It's okay, but they're going to be present, and the lawyer will be there, and be fed the right information, and not for him to get you out of this mess that you make. You see?
Okay. The second question is it permissible to have like a jury to present like your case to a group of people, and the majority, that's what you're going
to We did not play it like this, you understand, in Islam. Because according how many people they're going to say that you're guilty or right, right, okay? Like we said, the judges are three types. So if the judge, he have to be qualified first. What you see in the jury, not a jury.
Jury.
They bring seven people as example. One of them can be a carpenter, one of them can be an electrician, one of them can be a priest, one of them, you understand? What does these people know about ruling? What they know about laws? What they know about all these things? See, in Islam, a person has to be qualified.
That's what I mean. Could you present it to maybe seven judges and ask them, like, if it's a complicated, or to present it to seven judges and the majority of these seven judges, that's what you're going.
No. It doesn't have to be knowledgeable of the deed of Allah.
Like I said, if they are qualified, okay, to know the Islamic ruling, and that they will sit, all of them, let me say yes, if they are qualified Islamically, and they will be present there, and they will consult each other about other evidence which doesn't have to do anything with Islamic law. I don't see anything wrong in it. And they will surrender the one ruling, not understand everybody going to say the verdict will be such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Maimuna.
Hadith number 1198. Is that hadith, could that be to prove, like, that, because we learned that if a ruler is unjust to the people and that they deny access to the people, that Allah won't answer his du'as, you know, like his, what he needs. So would that be like to prove that? Would that like...
No, we saying that if he is not accessible to them, but the judge who ruled but he could not rule right due to the fact that he know and he did not judge by the right, or that he doesn't know the information, this is two different things. One is the person who is in charge of the affairs of the people, like the king or the president, okay? He is in the charge of the affairs of the people. And he is not making himself accessible because these people have needs and wants. So now they could not get their needs and wants fulfilled. This is one thing by itself.